It's Ideasphere with journalist, historian, and author Adam Makos, A Higher Call.
It was an honor to work on this book, and I think it'll change people's perspective on World War II. You never get to see the same battle from both sides, and that's what we give you here, and changes your attitude about war, and I think it'll be unlike any World War II book people have ever read.
You'll not read this story in any history books on World War II, at least not yet, and for very good reason. It was hushed up. Hello, I'm Guy Rothbun. Welcome to Ideasphere, a platform for today's voices with Adam Makos. His book, A Higher Call, an incredible true story of combat and chivalry in the war-torn skies of World War II. A New York Times bestseller, the book is printed in several languages. An American B-17 pilot and veteran German fighter ace meet in the skies over Germany, December 20th, 1943. What transpires is surprising and, to say the least, hard to believe. Mr. Makos joins me for this show. Thanks for taking this time.
Thank you, Guy. It's an honor to be on your show.
It astounds me that we have a story here that is ripe for acknowledgement around the world, and yet it's one of those that's buried. It's not very well known, understandably, after reading your work. But what a piece you ran across.
I certainly did. It's a story that you do. You wonder, how did this stay buried so long? And I was lucky. I was working for an aviation magazine maybe a good decade ago, and a lot of stories came across my desk. Veterans, World War II veterans, that was our specialty. We would interview them and publish their stories. And after a while, the veterans kept saying, "Have you heard the story of the German fighter pilot who let the American bomber escape?" And I thought, oh, this is a tall tale. This is too good to be true. And I kept hearing it and hearing it. And finally, I decided I've got to track this thing down. Everyone said that the American pilot was named Charlie Brown. It's just a name you don't forget very easily. So I said, all right. And especially with the parallels to Snoopy and the Red Baron, and Charlie Brown is saved by the German Red Baron, essentially, it just sounded kind of silly. I contacted Charlie Brown. I found him in Miami, Florida. He was about 85 years old, an old World War II bomber pilot. I said, "Charlie, is this story true? I'd like to tell it for my magazine." He said, "Let me stop you right there." He said, "If you want to really do this story right, you have to talk to my older brother, and his name is Franz Stiegler, and he was a German fighter pilot in World War II." I said, "Wait a second, a German fighter pilot? I've got to go interview a German, and you're calling him your brother? How can this be?" And that's how the adventure began.
Initially, when you began your interviewing with a number of World War II veterans, you refused to interview anyone with the German army. Nazi or not.
That is exactly correct. I didn't distinguish between them, Guy. I saw all Germans as Nazis. I didn't know that there was a difference, and I didn't want to honor them. I didn't want to give them even the recognition of having their story told. Charlie changed my perspective that day. He said, "Adam, you know, I'm just a character in this story. The German is the hero. If you want to get the real story, you've got to go to the German." So I had to compromise my values. And in the end, I'm very glad I did, because it opened my eyes to a very different perspective of World War II.
One seeing that would recognize immediately, because you spend a good deal of time with Franz Stiegler giving us detailed background and his flying experience and what created the man who did what he did.
That's exactly right. The other journalists had talked to Franz and Charlie about their story, but no one went beyond the encounter. We know they had this amazing 10-minute encounter on December 20th, 1943, in the height of the air war, but nobody looked beyond that. And what interested me about Franz and Charlie, and Franz in particular, was how did he become the kind of man who would take his finger off the trigger and spare his enemy? And I found much of the root of that in his youth. Franz was originally a young boy who liked to fly gliders with his older brother, August. This was in the interwar years between World War I and World War II. And these boys loved flying. Franz almost became a priest until his priest said, "Franz, I don't think you're meant for this life. I think you need to fly." And Franz said, okay. So his priest talked him out of the priesthood. And Franz became an airline pilot. And then when the war broke out, I discovered that In Germany, 1939, 1940, 1941, you didn't just say, I think I won't be part of the war. I won't join the service. I'm going to abstain. I'm an objector. You had to go. And so in Franz's case, he became a flight instructor. They drafted him. He trained his own brother to fly for the military. And his brother goes off and gets killed. So suddenly, this guy who wanted no part of World War II succumbs to that universal human emotion. He wants revenge for what happened to his brother. And he says, I want to become a fighter pilot. And that's how Franz Stiegler wound up in the seat of a man whose job was to kill other men.
For clarification now, we talk about the National Socialist Party setting this up for our listeners. It became known as Nazi, the shortened version of the Socialist Party. But less than 50% of the population supported this party. Those who were on the fringes, like Franz Stiegler, were actually left out of almost everything that was going on politically. He didn't mind because he was a Catholic, but the Nazis did not take favor with Catholics.
No, they didn't. And in fact, when Hitler came to power, the way he secured power was with 44% of the vote. That's all he won.
Right.
The Catholic Party had their vote. The Social Democrats had theirs. The Communists had theirs. The Farmers' Party had theirs. And everybody ended up splitting the vote. And that's how the world got Adolf Hitler, with 44% of the vote. So the majority of Germans stood against that guy, you might say, in the early days. Guys like Franz were 15, 16 years old. So most of the boys who fought World War II were too young to have even known who this Hitler guy was when he came to power. And that's an important difference I learned, that before I had watched the newsreels and I had seen the footage of Nuremberg and the big rallies and the 1,000,000 torches, and you just swear all of Germany showed up to celebrate Adolf Hitler. The reality was very different. 44% was the vote he came to power with. And when I learned that, I said, okay, I've got to look at this Stiegler guy a little differently, because you could be born in Germany, you could be born on the wrong side, and you could essentially be a victim of your own government.
Well, this is what happened to him, and he didn't have much choice. But what surprised me is how vocal he was about it. He didn't talk extensively, but there were all of those pilots who were not flying for the Nazi Party.
That is correct. The pilots fashioned themselves as a sort of, they saw themselves as knights. They saw themselves as the descendants of the World War I pilots. And in World War I, you know, nobody ever really gets too mad about the Red Baron, because he's seen as a kind of an apolitical guy. You know, he just fought with chivalry. And that's how a lot of the German pilots early in the war fashioned themselves. And in fact, in the desert, where Franz first reported for combat, they fought by rules very similar to World War I. The Germans and British were fighting each other again. America wasn't quite in the war at that point. And that's where Franz learned the lesson that would change his life. Because an older pilot named Rodel, who had been flying much longer, he was a veteran, he said, Franz, before Franz's first mission, he asked, what will you do if you shoot down a plane today and you find your enemy floating in a parachute? Will you strafe him? Will you salute him? What will you do? And Franz said, I'll worry about it when it happens. He wasn't concerned with that. He didn't even think he would shoot down a plane. And Rodel said, well, let me tell you what will happen. If I ever see you shoot a man in a parachute, if I ever hear of you shooting a man in a parachute, I'll shoot you down myself. And this stunned young Franz, because here he's about to go on his first combat mission, and his commander is saying, I will kill you. And Rodel said, let me explain, Franz. You fight by the rules of war, not for your enemy. You fight by the rules of war for yourself. You fight by those rules to keep your humanity, so that if you one day survive this, you can look yourself in the mirror and know you're still a good man. And that lesson was very powerful, but it was true. In the desert, the British and the Germans fought with great respect. If a German pilot was wounded and captured, British medics would tend to him. If a British pilot was captured by the Germans, many times they would host him for dinner before he went off to a POW camp. There was an odd sort of respect in the desert, and Franz Stiegler was very lucky he fought there first, because, and I should say Charlie Brown was very lucky that Franz Stiegler fought there first.
Indeed, true.
Because that played into that December 20th moment.
Talking with author of the book, A Higher Call, Adam Makos, with Larry Alexander, co-author on this remarkable story of World War II veterans, both German and American. Websites, Twitter, anything else you would like to recommend for folks to find out more information?
Well, Guy, they certainly can find A Higher Call on, you know, on all the websites, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at your local bookstore. It just came out on paperback, and it's done very well. It became a New York Times bestseller, spent about 19 weeks there, and it also became a bestseller in the UK. We hit number 3 on the Sunday Times list, and so it's a book that, funny enough, has been embraced worldwide and by countries that Germany fought, that Franz Stiegler fought. The book was published in France. It was published in Hungary. It's going to be published in Poland. And it's also going to be published, finally, in Germany this fall, which will be interesting to see the reaction.
We know some of the reaction that Stiegler received after the articles began coming out a number of years ago. But to see what the book might bring about is going to be something completely different. Again, A Higher Call, Adam Makos. Let's move to the stateside and this farm boy, Charlie Brown, and that's his real name, 20 years old, and he's going to fly a B-17 bomber.
It was a big responsibility for such a young man, and when we look back, it's kind of crazy that we put boys in these machines. It had 4 engines. It could fly up to 30,000 feet in temperatures negative 60 degrees. A B-17 could fly from London to Moscow and keep going. It had a crew of 10 men, carried 12 guns. It was just a massive machine, and Charlie Brown was the captain. And this is a kid who came from rural West Virginia. He was a farm boy, a former janitor, and he joined the Army to serve his country. And so it's very much, A Higher Call is very much a story of Franz Stiegler. It's also a story of an American story, of a kid who came from nothing and found himself in the greatest adversity that his generation faced.
He was stationed in England. He had never really flown extensive hours with the B-17, but to add to that, he had never flown combat. This was his first mission. Being his first mission, flying out of England in formation with a number of other B-17s on a bombing raid, he's given what's called the Purple Heart Corner. You want to describe that?
Yes. Charlie was placed, because he was the rookie, his crew was placed in the lower part of the formation at the rear. It was the corner of the formation. And the danger associated with it was that the German fighters, when they would attack, they would never go for the center of the formation. They wouldn't even go for the lead of the formation because in many cases, you know, the guns were all bearing that direction. They would go for that lower fringe where they could hit and they could keep on diving away. So it was called Purple Heart Corner because you would either get shot down or killed if you flew there long enough. And on that first mission, December 20th, 1943, Charlie didn't last long in Purple Heart Corner. He, over the target, was hit by flak. His plane lost 2 engines very quickly. It dropped from formation, and it was left behind. So shortly into his first mission, Charlie finds himself alone over Germany. And then things get worse. 15 German fighters show up, and these fighters attack his plane, and Charlie fights this desperate air battle to keep the enemy fighters from knocking him out of the sky. In the end, he's saved by a mistake. He turns too hard, he loses control, and the bomber falls out of the sky and barely recovers above the earth. And when Charlie looks around, the fighters are gone, and he's skimming the treetops over northern Germany, and he runs for the ocean, and that's where the 2 lives interceded, his and Franz's. Charlie didn't notice ahead on the earth a German airfield. The airfield was made of grass, and there Franz Stiegler was standing next to his plane, smoking a cigarette, and he saw this American bomber fly over, and he hopped in his fighter plane to chase down Charlie Brown. That's where the encounter took place that would change both men's lives.
One of the things you didn't mention was here Charlie Brown is going to leave England. He has a fully intact ye olde pub, B-17. One of the engines is already giving him problems. He hasn't even begun the flight.
Yes, we actually personify that B-17 ye old pub because the pilots called their planes a girl. This is our girl, and she's going to take us home. So ye old pub was Charlie's girl, and yeah, she was acting up before that first mission. She had been a veteran bomber. She had patches on her from previous battles. And the men trusted her, though. And in the end, thanks to Stiegler, their trust was rewarded. Ye old pub brought them home, but that was a battle in itself. When you've lost two engines and every square foot of your bomber has a bullet hole in it, as it was after that battle that Charlie was in, it was a pretty mangy-looking airplane by the time Franz Stiegler saw it, by the time Charlie Brown reached England.
Let's go back to that, because when Franz Stiegler saw this thing, I believe he thought, as I recall reading, what's keeping this thing in the air?
Exactly. He was looking for the string to cut this plane out of the sky. He thought some string is holding this thing up. And it was a metaphor, but it was that badly damaged. Every square foot had a bullet hole. And this was a green painted airplane. So when a bullet hole hit, it chipped away the paint and revealed the silver. So this thing was just a patchwork. When Franz came up behind it, he had his finger on the trigger and he said, "All right, when you shoot, I'll shoot, and God will decide who lives and dies." He came up closer and the plane didn't shoot, and he came up closer. And finally he saw Charlie's tail gunner slumped over his guns, the blood coming down the barrels, and the man was dead. He had been hit with a direct shell. And Franz said, "Oh no." It was the first time he had really seen a dead man in the sky. He looked at this plane, the tail was nearly chewed off, the wings were holed, and Franz said, "It's not shooting at me, I can't do this." And he took his finger off the trigger. He said, "This would be no different than shooting a man in a parachute," because the plane was defenseless. And a lot of pilots would have stopped there, and they would have flown away, and they would have said, "Oh, I'm a good person. I didn't kill these men. I let them live. I let them go." But Franz took it one step further, which was the audacious part. Now, what he did next, he could have easily been court-martialed for. He could have been shot if one person on the ground saw him. He flew alongside of the American bomber, and when Charlie Brown looked over at his right wing, there he saw this 109, this German fighter. And he saw Franz Stiegler nod at him and smile. And Charlie thought this was insane. He closed his eyes and he shook his head. He said, "I'm living a nightmare right now." But sure enough, when he opened his eyes again, Stiegler was still there. And for about 10 minutes, the two planes flew together. And Franz stayed with Charlie for a reason. He knew that as long as a German fighter plane was on the wing of this bomber, no other German fighters would attack and no guns would fire from the ground. And essentially, Franz Stiegler became Charlie's guardian angel. He shepherded this bomber out over the North Sea, out over the German coast. And in the end, he looked at Charlie and he said, "Good luck, you're in God's hands." He saluted and he flew away. That was the encounter. Charlie Brown, he knew his face, but he didn't know his name. He knew nothing about him. He just knew that some German had just saved his life.
And he thought, at the time at least, that this strange incident was brought about because the German pilot, Franz Stiegler, was out of ammunition, which he wasn't.
Exactly. That was the only thing Charlie could think of. At first, Charlie thought, maybe he's going to shoot us down over the ocean. Maybe he's toying with us. He wants to see us before he kills us. And then later, Charlie concluded, oh, he must have been out of ammunition. So his emotions were just swinging back and forth. He didn't know what to make of this. And then later on, when he gets back to England, the brass tells him, "You're not to talk about this ever again." Because they were terrified that if word got out of a good German saving an American plane or flying alongside of it, other bomber crews might hold their fire and they might say, "Oh, look, this guy just wants to fly with us. Let's wait a second." And that split second could cost American lives. So not only could Franz never mention this because he would be executed as a traitor to his country, Charlie couldn't mention this either. And that's probably why the story stayed under wraps for 50-odd years.
Yes, very clearly. Journalist, historian, and author Adam Makos, A Higher Call. This is Ideasphere. I'm Guy Rothbun. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. You're back with Ideasphere, a platform for today's voices with author, historian, and journalist Adam Makos. The book we're talking about, A Higher Call, an incredible true story of combat and chivalry in the war-torn skies of World War II. Something we haven't talked about is the loss of altitude of Brown's B-17 caused by the huge hole in the nose of the aircraft, which created a drag. Besides the plane losing its fluids, oil and gas, there was this gaping hole at the front gun. That hole caused the plane to slowly drop from the sky. It couldn't regain altitude it lost. Add to that, the craft was heading into the German coastline artillery wall, as it was known, making it a sitting duck.
Yes, it was the worst-case scenario for Charlie. He was low and he was slow. And the German flak guns on the ground, the only explanation for why they didn't fire was that they saw Stiegler there flying on his wing. And they said, well, that's one of ours, so we don't know what he's doing. We don't know who it is, but we can't bring ourselves to shoot. And in A Higher Call, we detail Charlie's battle just to get the bomber back to England. And it's quite harrowing. Even if he didn't encounter Franz Stiegler, the return to England in itself was incredible. So yes, that bomber, Yeo Pub, carried him home. And then, of course, 40, 50 years later, another miracle happened, and that was when Charlie searched for Franz.
He put the word out in the Jagerblatt.
Yes, he put it out in a newsletter for German fighter pilots, and he said, oh, the odds that this man is still alive are so slim. He likely got killed during the war, and if so, how did he live 40 or 50 years after the war? He's probably gone, but he tried anyway, and his faith was rewarded. And the reunion of these two, again, it's as if even if they had never met in combat, even if Franz had never spared him, just finding two men who had served in the same sky like that would be against all odds. Yet Charlie found Franz, and the two became best friends. And we detail very much their emotional reunion in the book and what they did, how they, for the next 18 years, went touring together to talk to school groups and rotary clubs and museums and military units to tell their story. It would always tell people, we became brothers. We are brothers now. We were once enemies and now we're brothers. Yeah, I always wondered, is that just rhetoric? Is that just warm and fuzzy talk? Then when I was researching A Higher Call, I was looking in Charlie's library one night, very late, and I found a book on a shelf. I read it and I opened it, and it was a gift that Franz had given him. It was a book about jets, because Franz flew the German jets later. In the book was an inscription from Franz to Charlie, and it said, on December 20, 1943, I had the chance to save a B-17 from her destruction, a plane so badly damaged it was a wonder that it was still flying. The pilot, Charlie Brown, is for me as precious as my brother was. Thanks, Charlie. Your brother, Franz. And when I read that, I just sat back in the seat and I said, oh my God, it's all real. And I closed the book, put it back on the shelf. I was never meant to see it. The world was never meant to know that. Charlie had never told anyone that, and Franz had given it to him privately. But that said it all. Franz lost one brother in World War II, and he gained another in Charlie Brown. And it's one of the greatest stories, I think, of humanity, not just war. Two enemies becoming brothers.
Charlie Brown came back, as so many World War II veterans did, heroes of that war. But Franz Stiegler had just the opposite situation. Not only was he on the losing side of the war, but civilians blamed the fighter pilots for the inability to win.
Yes, in a way, A Higher Call is very much a powerful story, and it's inspirational, but it's also very tragic. And it follows how a guy like Franz Stiegler can lose his brother in the war, he can lose his friends, he can lose his country at the end, he can see his town, you know, reduced to rubble. And in the end, it gets worse, and that is his own people turn against him. And that's a very little-known fact, that the German people blamed the American bombing, not necessarily on Hitler, not necessarily on the bombers themselves. They blamed it on the fighter pilots, because Hitler killed himself, so they didn't have a scapegoat. And the scapegoat became the pilots like Franz, who, according to the civilians, failed to keep the bombs from falling. And really, guys like Franz had been given an impossible task, a nation that was impossible to defend. In the end, they became the outcasts after World War II. Many became homeless. Many would take odd jobs fixing roofs, fixing sewing machines as Franz did, anything to survive. So one day, a man like Franz Stiegler is flying one of the fastest machines on Earth, and the next day he's fixing sewing machines and he's hated by his own people. And that led him to emigrate to Canada. That's, in the end, how Charlie Brown found him. So Franz Stiegler got his happy story. He got something good to come out of World War II, and that was his new brother, Charlie.
It's interesting that in the Reconstruction period post-World War II, after several years, the value of the fighter pilots were recognized by the Allies, and many of them returned to training in the Air Force, and among those was Adolf Gallert, the general, who had a great deal of respect for Franz Stiegler and trying to convince Stiegler to come back to Germany and join his newly reformed Air Force, which Stiegler did refuse. But it's interesting the conversation he had after the revelations of a higher call.
You're right. Gallant was at one time the general of all the fighters in Germany. And when he found out that he had helped Charlie, which was fascinating, he helped Charlie look for Franz, but he didn't know he was looking for Franz. He was helping Charlie look for some German pilot who saved his life. And he helped him publish the announcement. And when Franz confronted Gallant and he said, "It was me, I was the one who spared that American," Gallant wasn't overjoyed and he wasn't angry either. He said, "It would be you." His tone was due to the fact that, like many Germans, he had seen their cities destroyed. And Franz had essentially let this American bomber escape to come back and bomb Germany 25, 30 more times. Charlie Brown did that. He came back and he bombed Germany. So, in essence, Franz was a traitor to his people. And at the same time, Gallant recognized that Franz had answered a higher call. He had served his humanity over his nationality. He had saved his soul in doing so. And Gallant had lost two brothers in the war. Both of his brothers were fighter pilots, and they were killed. So he took it very personally. There were many people who resented what Franz did. He would get angry calls that would say, you know, "You're a traitor, you're a pig." They would swear at him and hang up. They bothered his wife. This happened all in the 90s. And his wife would cry, and Franz would say, "You have to understand that that person might have lost the love of their life to a B-17 bomber. They blame me for this. And you know what? You have to understand where they're coming from." That was the kind of man Franz Stiegler was. That's why his story is so fascinating.
The entire book is fascinating, beautifully written, and I thank you so much, Adam Makos. It's been a pleasure not only with reading the material, experiencing this long-hidden story, but being able to spend the time with these individuals. Thank you.
Thank you.
Adam Makos, my guest for this edition of Ideasphere. A Higher Call, an incredible true story of combat and chivalry in the war-torn skies of World War II. The book is available in softcover. Be sure to check out the YouTube video of the 1990 meeting between Stiegler and Brown. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions about future programs, write to me at rathbunproductions@gmail.com. This program is a distribution of Public Radio Exchange, PRX.org. For Ideasphere, I'm Guy Rathbun.